Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
Fortnite's Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast, part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Al Sacco with Brian Reinick. We have one of my absolute favorite guests to have on the show. And whether you know him from the 49ers, whether you know him from NFL Network, whether you know him from Sports Illustrated, he's got a book coming out. He's a legend in the business. There's a small amount of people that when they say something, I pay attention. I'm like, all right, this is big news. And you're that guy. We have to start out here because the biggest news with the 49ers right now is obviously Brandon Ayuk. A lot of rumors are flying. You know, is he going to ask for a trade? The draft is coming up. What do you know and where do you think this is headed so far with Ayuk?
Well, first of all, I just want to take you young people back in time. So in 1989, I was a rookie beat writer covering the 49ers who were coming off their third championship. And I was covering them for a newspaper now defunct called the Sacramento Union. And, you know, I was pretty much just out of college and very awed by the assignment. But there were 15 daily print journalists covering that team. Papers, three of which doubled up, the Chronicle, the Oakland Tribune, and the San Jose Mercury News, and including Ira Miller of the Chronicle, one of maybe the greatest NFL beat writer of all time, and just some monsters. So, you know, I just got my butt kicked, you know, daily, and remember, you know, would wake up in the morning and feel nauseous as I walked to the front stoop to pick up the Chronicle and see what I got beaten on that day. You know, and obviously there were radio and TV people as well. You know, no internet, sadly, in 1989. But so I think that's kind of been a thing off and on with this franchise since the Walsh Montana, you know, explosion starting in 1981. You know, when I look at Brandon Ayuk, it's part of this stew that, you know, first of all, they are all in. And they have one more year of this gift from the salary cap gods where you're not even allowed to extend Brock Purdy. So you've got an artificially deflated rookie deal for your star quarterback. And they've done such a good job of finding stars and, you know, highly compensated stars at so many positions. And they want to keep that band together. They lost Armstead. They squeezed Juszczyk a little bit, but they pretty much have all of that. And so you look at that and you look at the way the cap shot up, you know, before this season, and you just go, they got to keep all these guys. So they got to find a way to at least run it back for one more year. But then you go, how ugly is he willing to make it in terms of disruption if he doesn't want to play on that fifth-year option, which I would understand from his perspective. And, you know, Debo publicly requested a trade and definitely put pressure on them. Mm-hmm. We saw George Kittle, you know, the year before. There was a scenario where he could have opted out for COVID, and that was being floated a little bit. Bosa, obviously, it went down to the wire last year, but quietly. And so you just wonder, you know, is this going to come to a head? And then the final part of that is you just go, look, you're paying so many people, including a running back who is probably underpaid, Christian McCaffrey, a fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, who's taken a little less, but is still top of market, a left tackle, of course, Trent Williams. But you probably don't want to have a situation where you're paying two receivers / the tight end at top of market from 2025 on. And in Debo and Kittle, you have two guys who play so physically and their bodies have worn down to a degree. And yet they both mean a lot, I think, to the chemistry. Debo just infuses them with something on the field. Kittle, both on the field and in the locker room, I think is a big, big influence and a part of what they are. And so you just kind of put all of that together. And so that's the long buildup. But to me, because clearly you don't have a number with Ayuk where it's close enough that you feel like, you know, it's just a matter of time till we get this done, you have to at least think about it. And it's a receiver-rich draft. You're at 31, which is not amazing, but better than where you've been in recent years because of the Lance trade. And, you know, you may have teams that are calling in the buildup as you're on the clock, maybe even day two. And that's an inflection point. So I think you're at least listening day one and possibly day two of this draft. And you're possibly drafting somebody who maybe, if he's not, you know, replacing Ayuk or replacing Debo, maybe fits the mold more of the classic number one receiver, which neither of these guys really do. Debo, not at all. Ayuk is a lot closer, but, you know, maybe a taller, you know, dominator on the outside, depending on how you view Purdy's strengths and where you're going.
It's interesting because you say, you know, the draft really is the inflection point. We felt that with Debo. You mentioned day one. You also mentioned day two. Do you feel like this team would move Ayuk for anything less than a first round pick? And if they did, do you feel like that essentially takes them a step back far enough that they're not necessarily now the favorites in the NFC?
I don't think they move him for less than a first round pick. And I don't think that offer's on the table right now. And I'm not sure that it will be. So that's the good news for 49er fans who understandably want him back and Debo and Kittle there too. I don't think there's a first round value right now that's out there. That could change. And I don't think they would trade him for a second day pick. So when I say second day, the scenario I'm envisioning is you love a guy at 31, or maybe you move up and get him in 27 or something, a receiver. And now you've got your receiver of the future. So now you at least have the freedom on day two to listen to teams. And it might be for a 2025 pick or a second in 24 and something in 25. You can at least then, you know that you're probably doing something before the start of the season. But I do think the likeliest scenario, you know, it depends how you look at it. From the 49ers perspective, the likeliest scenario, duh, is play on the fifth year option and we'll figure it out in a year. Sorry. If you believe that it will get ugly enough that that's not palatable, then I think the likeliest scenario is they pay him and figure, we're keeping him. We drafted him. We developed him. He got more mature. He got better and better. It's the right thing for us to do, and it's the thing we want to do. And we'll worry about Kittle and Debo after 2024, along with a lot of other things. I think that's those two scenarios to me are the likeliest. But, you know, if you told me the Niners are on the clock, there's a receiver they love, and somebody's calling, offering a one for next year, probably they're thinking about that pretty, you know, strongly.
Where does Devontae Smith recent contract land the 49ers in their negotiations with Ayuk? Do you feel like that's the floor? Do you feel like that's the ceiling? Like where do you think that lands them in those negotiations?
It's a great question. And you know, these receiver numbers are weird, you know, at first glance, because a lot of them were done with existing bad years. So there's new money average and then there's actual average. So I think a lot of, like, the Tyreek Hill deal sounds like 30, but if you look at it, it really, you can make a case that it's a lot lower. So I think the Smith deal to me didn't feel like it messes up the market. It's always better to do it sooner in general. Like, I don't know what the Vikings are doing with Justin Jefferson. I just can't believe they didn't pay him last year. If someone is that obviously that good, I mean, Justin Jefferson is one of the rare guys who comes to the league. He's a classic number one receiver, and then he just outplays even his draft status immediately. And you just go, what are we doing? Like, pay him as much as you can, as early as you can, because it's only going to go up. I don't think the Smith deal, you know, changed it much, but you have Chase and Jefferson looming, and those numbers are, I think, going to be, you know,
bananas. Whoa. Yeah.
To me, the Debo deal is what you're looking at too, because yes, they did that under duress. On paper, you didn't really want to do that. The value of Debo to the Niners is higher than it is to any other team, I believe, and there's a lot of intangible. But, I think you probably aren't getting Ayuk to take that or less. And so that to me is a number that's interesting. But if you're the 49ers and you've decided we want Brandon Ayuk back, end of story, I think I would try really hard to get it done sooner. Now, A, it's Jed York's money and I love spending it. So caveat. And B, the way they've done these things, you know, from Warner to Kittle to Debo to Bosa has been, we'll bleed it out and do it late in the summer. Now, Debo didn't get done till late, but something clearly shifted, right? Like, he wanted out. The draft came. They didn't trade him. He was like, you know, apoplectic. And then all of a sudden, Debo was like, all right, I'm chilling. So he knew at that point it's going to get done somewhere in that range. So they may reach a point with Ayuk where they're like, hey, you know, like, let's all calm down here. It's going to get done. Just, you know, be patient with us and chill out, and maybe that'll happen too.
And we spend so much time on Ayuk, but there's so many decisions that this team is going to have to make in the next year or so. And one of the spots that sticks out to me is the secondary, because you have Ward, you have Lenore, you have Hufanga. All these guys are in the last year of their deals. Do you think there's a priority there? Do you see an extension coming with any of these guys? What's going to happen with the secondary?
That is such a great question. So, first of all, they still think they can get one of these safeties at cut rate values. So they've clearly set a price that aren't, you know, coming up, and probably they won't get one, but, you know, like Julian Blackmon, they could have had for sure. He took a pretty, you know, below market deal to stay with the Colts, and they think Julian Blackmon is a really good player. So could Justin Simmons be sitting out there and just go, fine, I'll take a crappy one-year deal and try to win a Super Bowl with the Niners? Maybe. So I haven't totally given up on that scenario. So I would say, A, they definitely want another safety. Hufanga's an interesting case because he was drafted low. He ran slow. He was a revelation once he became a starter in his second year in 2022. He made insane plays the first half of that season, really didn't have a great second half of the season, but was first team all pro off of those splash plays. And then wasn't having a great 2023 when he got hurt. And now he's got an ACL and was already slow. Jair Brown was a guy who was forced in at that point, was a third round pick, probably outplayed his draft status in some ways. They didn't trust him in the playoffs and played Logan Ryan, which gave them, like, you know, the oldest pair of safeties in the playoffs in some time. But they went back to Jair Brown in the Super Bowl, and he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I think he's starting no matter what. I'm not sure Hufanga's starting next year. And then you add in Brandon Staley's presence, and he has played three safeties more than what Saleh and D'Amico and even Wilkes did before him. So they're getting at least one safety, whether it's in the draft or one of these guys who the market collapses on, or both. Now, corner is also super interesting because, you know, Charvarius Ward was a great free agent signing, maybe their best since McCaffrey's a trade. I'm trying to think Have the Shanahan Lynch people have a better, you know, Dee Ford was a trade and that was only really 1 year. I mean, that's a great free agent signing, and he obviously got even better this last year. So he's in a great spot for this year. Isaac Yiadom, I'm not going to say it right, but
Yiadom.
Yiadom. That was a sneaky signing for them. They think he, you know, he kind of was a journeyman, and then he had a really good year last year in New Orleans. They think they could get him on the outside and potentially move Diamador Lenore inside, which is super intriguing. It was intriguing last year because Isaiah Oliver wasn't working out and they didn't really have a nickel. It's more intriguing now because of Staley and his history. So if you look at when he was the Rams defensive coordinator, they had that star position that he used with Jalen Ramsey, you know, to great acclaim as they had the number one defense in the league. But Jalen Ramsey, a classic shutdown corner, was now playing star, which moved him inside a lot and put him in the center of the action a lot. Derwin James was the logical guy to do it with the Chargers when Staley was there. They didn't have as good a team around him. But I could see Diamador Lenore being that maybe some of the time, maybe all the time. And that's interesting because he's smaller and, you know, hasn't had much fanfare and all that. But, you know, I think there's a lot to love about potentially him inside making plays. And if that happens, then you're going to have to pay him after next season and you're going to do it willingly. And so now you've got potential safety corner decisions to make. By the way, these are all decisions they would love to make. In a perfect world, they load up for this year, contend for another Super Bowl. They hopefully win it for their sake. And either way, next year they go, okay, Purdy's going to get paid. And now we probably have to get younger and retool on the fly a little bit. But they're still in a great spot on paper, and they should not do anything this year that makes them less able to contend this year, in my opinion. You know, Armstead arguably does, but they made that decision when they paid Hargrave. You know, okay, we're not paying two defensive tackles, and you know, Armstead is less durable now. You know, luckily for them, Juszczyk was able, you know, they were able to keep him and save a little money there. But they really haven't done anything to keep themselves from contending. And that's pending, obviously, the AUK situation.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Mike, before we get out of here, when's the book coming out?
It's not coming out till fall, I believe.
Okay.
October 1st is the date right now. So I don't want to get too much hype going, but I'm glad you asked. I'm really excited about this. So I've been on this for years, and it's about Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, Matt LaFleur, Raheem Morris, that crew of coaches, and how they have revolutionized the game while fighting it out in all their petty splendor among one another. And going back to me being old, it really starts with Mike Shanahan as the 49er offensive coordinator, changing Steve Young's career arc, and then going to Denver, and then eventually going to Washington, where all five of those future head coaches, and in Raheem Morris's case, past and future head coach, were on the same staff, and they did wild stuff with RG3 in 2012 and kind of took off from there. So I'm really psyched about it. There's a lot in it. I will definitely be hopefully coming back on to pimp that as we get closer, because I think 49er fans especially are going to, they're going to learn a lot and definitely get fired up.
We're going to promote the hell out of that. So you have an open invitation, and absolutely just let us know whatever we can do. And thanks for your time today, Mike.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, and thank you for not asking any draft questions. Oh, my God.
You're very welcome.
That is 0-3! 1-2-3!
.400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
Is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.